anyway, I want to share this scripture with you because of everything that's been going on in the world right now. Romans chapter 8, 18. And it says, for I reckon that the sufferings, everybody say sufferings.
Sufferings.
See how y'all said that? There was no joy in it. Come on.
Right?
Y'all said that with a smile. For the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory. Everybody say glory.
Glory.
Which shall be revealed in us. Mm-hmm. So when we talk about suffering and we talk about glory, many times we see suffering as a very negative thing, and we see glory as something of a positive thing. And there's nothing wrong with that, but it's all these two things are connected in the kingdom of God. Mm-hmm. And so if you don't understand that, then what happens is we kind of mistake what the glory of God is. You know, I come from the old kind of tiny Pentecostal Assemblies of God and charismatic churches, you know. And so we would talk about the glory. You know, the older people would come in and they would say, I remember the glory. And so it was always kind of this mystical thing. And I've been in meetings before where the presence of God comes in. And, you know, you can literally see a mist or like a cloud in the room. And the old timers would call that the glory cloud. Mm-hmm. The glory cloud is in the room and people would be touched and people would be weeping. And so we would see the glory of God as a manifestation of the Spirit, and that's the only way we would see it. And we saw this in Solomon's temple when everything was in order. The Bible says that the glory of God, when they set all the lampstands and the curtains were hung correctly and everything, it says the glory of God came into the temple and the priests or the ministers could not stand because of the glory. Mm-hmm. And so when we see the glory of God, we tend to think that it's just the presence of God. Mm. And it is the presence of God, but it's also God.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Come on, amen.
Yeah. Yeah.
If I'm in your presence, I gotta be there. Amen.
Right. Right. Yes.
And many times we're more as believers, gonna be careful of this because we're very much fixated on the manifestations of the Spirit and sometimes not the Spirit Himself.
Right. Mm.
And we are very satisfied with His manifestations, but Him personally is a different story. Because when He comes, He's not coming just to bless. Come on.
Yeah.
He's coming to deal. He's coming to work in our hearts. He's coming to deal with things in our life. And sometimes that feels great, and sometimes it doesn't. Mm-hmm. And so the glory of God manifests in a lot of different ways. We're seeing the glory of God in creation right now. Look at when we walk around this mountain, we see how beautiful it is. And we were on the lake yesterday, and they were showing us all the million-dollar homes on Lake Arrowhead. And I thought, man, I mean, these are nice homes, but me and my wife were laughing because we live in Irvine. Those homes would be 10, 12 million over there.
Right.
And I said, you know, so it's you know, they are great homes, but the value is really placed on them because the glory of God is what people are paying for. Mm-hmm. They look out their window every day, and they don't even know it, but that's why they're paying the premium. They're paying the premium because they want to wake up in the morning, and they want to see something about God. Because maybe they don't know Him. So this is the closest they can come to Him, is seeing His glory in His creation. Mm-hmm. And this is why waterfront, beachfront, anything with a view, come on, is going to cost you more money because it's the glory of God that people don't even know. That's what they want to see. And this is why when you go to a hotel room, you know, they say, do you want a view? Okay, you got to pay a little more for the view. The brick wall rooms, you know, those are cheaper, right? Because that's part of the glory of God. If we see Him in His creation, we see His goodness, we see His abundance. Come on, amen?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And the Bible also teaches us about Solomon. In Matthew 6, 29 through 30, it says, Solomon, and yet unto that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like all of these. And we're talking about God, put His hand on creation, taking care of the animals. Mm-hmm. But even Solomon, in all his glory, the Bible says. Mm-hmm. So there's an outward glory that we can carry. It's kind of the way that we dress, the excellence that we have. These are part of how we show forth. That's why we come to church. You know, we try to look our best. Come on, amen.
Mm-hmm.
I tell my girls that, come on, we're gonna come in. I don't care if you dress trendy, but you know, we're gonna be sharp because this is God's house, right? Mm-hmm. And it's because we want to show forth His glory. Mm-hmm. Come on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I got an interesting story about this. You know, so when I was in Bible school years ago, I'm not gonna tell you how long ago, but it was quite a long time ago. I'd have a suit. I had one suit, and my roommate had another suit. And so his was black, or mine was black, and his was like a olive green, so you can kind of mix them. So we wear the he wear the pants, and I wear the shirt, wear the jacket, and then we switch. And everybody thought we had two suits, but really just had one. And we would like get up in the morning. What pants are you wearing today? You know? But I remember there's a little store that opened up, and it was called $99 Suit Brokers, and you could get three suits for $99.
Oh my!
And a pair of shoes. And three shirts and three ties.
Wow.
For $99. Three suits, man.
Yeah.
And so I thought, man, I got $100 together. Someone blessed me. And I remember I went down, I got my three suits, and I was like, oh my goodness. I mean, look at the glory. Come on. And I remember I was sharing one time in a chapel service, and I remember, you know, I just kind of put my hand up, and, you know, the Lord said that suit. And I thought, man, I had to preach the rest of the time, my arm down like this, you know, and I couldn't raise my hands doing worship anymore, and I didn't have money to get it fixed, so when I come to church, shaking hands with everybody. And it was the glory, but it was a temporary glory. Come on, amen?
Yeah.
And we talk about the glory of God in creation. We were sitting on the beach the other day, and just enjoying the just beautiful scenery, just, you know, just waves crashing in and everything, and we're just like, oh, isn't this nice? It's wonderful. Look at the glory of God. And then here comes some guy with his boombox. Some crazy music on him. Right? And I thought, man, this guy done messed up the glory. I'm trying to enjoy this. And now I got this boom, boom, boom in my ear. And here's what we have to understand. Even if you're in a meeting and the power of God falls, it doesn't stay there. Come on, amen. It's a temporary glory that we are touched with. Mm-hmm. It's a temporary glory that comes into our life for a specific reason, but it's a temporary glory. Now, here's the powerful thing. The Bible says that the glory of God that we're talking about in Romans, okay, that's the glory that must be revealed in us, not touched, that we're touched by it, but it's revealed in us. Mm-hmm. That means it's there, but we don't see it. Come on, amen.
Mm-hmm.
There's something covering it up. There's something preventing us from manifesting it, but it's in us. Yeah. Come on, amen.
Amen. Right.
And the only way that comes out of us is through trials and suffering.
Yeah. That's right.
Now, when you understand this, you understand that the height of your calling as an individual is not to manifest the gifts. It's not to walk in a greater prophetic anointing.
Right.
It's to manifest the glory of God.
Yeah.
And so when we talk about the glory of God in this context, it's a little different. And because we're talking about the person of God that dwells in each of us, but he can't get out. Now, here's one of my favorite scriptures in all of the Bible. And it's in Romans. And so it talks about that the creation, come on, is groaning and travailing, waiting for the manifestation of the sons and daughters, come on, of God.
Yeah.
Now, I want to challenge you right now. When you look out and you turn on your TV right now and you see what's going on in our country, what I see is a groaning and a travailing.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's
right. I see turmoil.
Yeah.
And I see families that are being ripped apart. I got people, you know, unfriending me. Because they don't like my stance on something or what I had to say about something.
Yep.
I see people losing friends, lifetime friends. I see churches that are in turmoil because of this COVID-19, and some of them are closing. And I see the earth is in a travail right now. It's been in one before, but this is something unique. And I see it as it's God, and we're talking about solutions. We're talking about how, as a church, how as believers, how do we get into this conflict and how do we come into it? And this is what the scripture teaches us, that this planet, this conflict is waiting, not for Christians, not for the church, but for the sons of God. It's very important.
That's right.
Now, because we say, well, where is the church right now? And that's a wrong question to be asking, because the church is made up of believers, and believers are operating in different levels of glory.
That's right.
Come on, amen.
Yeah. Amen.
Yeah.
Now, this is what happened with Moses. You know, this is something that I've read the scriptures through many times, and just somehow this eluded me until God revealed this to me. And it's this, it's that when the children of Israel came out of Egypt, guys, You understand that when Moses came up the mountain, the invitation wasn't for Moses. The invitation was for all of them to come up into the mountain.
That's right. Mm.
But Moses was the only one that said, Moses, okay, we don't know what's up there. It's the fear of the unknown. Come on.
Mm-hmm.
That's what keeps a lot of people from being close to God. They don't know him. Mm-hmm. And so they think something may happen. He may call me, take me to Africa. Come on.
Yeah.
He might tell me I'm never going to get married. You know, this is the kind of stuff people, if I get too deep into this, I might end up like my friend. And they went off to, Zimbabwe.
Yeah.
And so there's a little bit of trepidation because we know that, one of the names of God is Jehovah Sneaky. Come on. Because we don't know what he's going to do sometimes. And so there's a lack of trust. And so they didn't trust him to come up the mountain. And Moses was like, no, it's okay. And they're like, no, you go. Come on. And then you come down. Now, when they did this, they changed their relationship with God. Because they did not want to be intimate with him. And that's what happens as believers when we don't choose to be intimate with God. The relationship changes. And it's very difficult for us to walk at any level of true victory as a believer once we make that decision that God is not to be trusted. And that's what they said. They said, we don't trust you. We'd rather hear from preachers, not from you directly. We'd rather read a book instead of getting it for ourselves. There's nothing wrong with that. And God is gracious. Come on, amen.
Amen.
He doesn't mind doing it like that way. It's just the relationship is a little bit different when we choose to approach him like that.
Yeah.
And it changes kind of how he operates in our life and the level that he can operate in.
Yeah.
So this is what God did. So we understand where we're all at. How we know we made this decision is that God responded in a way to that. He said, okay, you don't want to come up the mountain, then I'm going to give you rules, laws, and regulations because I don't want to have to murder you.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
I want to keep you from destruction. So I'm going to give you all these laws, all these commandments, and all these things you have to follow. All these things, and that's how you're going to relate to me is through these rules and regulations. Because we don't have an intimate relationship where you can be led by my spirit. Mm-hmm. So you're going to be forced. You have no choice. It's either you're led by the spirit of God, come on, amen, or you're operating in the law.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's no in between if you're a believer. Yeah. You're not a little bit in the law and a little bit led by the Holy Spirit. You're either being led by the Holy Spirit or you're being led by the law. And so he gave them these rules, and this is how you know that you've chosen the wrong approach to God. Is that you're more focused on rules than you are on him. And we say things like this when we're under the law. We say, maybe things aren't going right because I missed something. Maybe what the reason that I'm struggling right now is because I've missed some part of the law. And everything is a transaction with the Lord. I didn't pay my tithe, that's why my washing machine broke. Maybe my kids aren't doing as well as they should because, my heart's not completely devoted to him. And this is a very dangerous way to live as a believer because you're always defaulting to the law. When everything happens, something happens in your life, then the default isn't to Christ and his love. It's to the law. What mistake have I made? What must I do to obtain the favor of God? Because I don't have it.
Right.
Yeah.
Why am I not being blessed? Because I've missed something. So let me go deeper and let me quote more promises. Come on, amen. Let me get deeper into, the transactions with the Lord. Come on, amen. And so we're leveraging things all the time against him. We're saying, well, Lord, I'm serving down at that church. And so why aren't I blessed? I pay my tithe. I read my Bible, I pray. How come so-and-so is more blessed than me?
Right.
Those are questions of the law, of legalism.
That's right.
Because if we understood how the Holy Spirit works with us, it has nothing to do with you keeping the law or the rules.
Right.
The Bible says this very clearly in 1 Corinthians. It says that the law is called the administration of death. That means that you cannot walk in it and have life going on. So whenever I have to counsel someone and they are burnt out, they are wearied, they are overwhelmed, I know exactly what's going on. I know there might be other things going on there, and I don't want to dismiss that, but I know what the root is. The root is they're operating under the law.
Yeah.
Because they're working for God's love, not from God's love. It's two different ways you do everything in the kingdom. You're either working for it or you're working from it. And when you work from it, there's limitless life, there's limitless energy, there's power, there's authority, and you understand you can make all the mistakes in the world and you're still never going to be cast aside. You're still never going to be put to the side by God because you did something wrong and now you're being punished. That's all legalism. And so here's the struggle we have as believers. Come on, are you with me? Here's the struggle we have as believers. We think that there's either legalism or lawlessness. Right? And so we're so afraid because we all our hearts are right. We fear the Lord. We don't want to get into lawlessness. We don't want to be like the people. And we think if we throw off any kind of constraint and we are don't adhere to these rules and we don't, you know, burn our TV and come on. Never go to, you don't want to go to, that's up to you. But, you know, understand this. Those things will not purify your heart. Come on, they have no way of purifying your heart. That's Old Testament legalism.
That's right.
And so now we understand that if we walk with the Holy Spirit, there's a third alternative from legalism and lawlessness. It's called being led by His Spirit. Yes. The sons of God are led by the Spirit of God.
Amen.
Yeah, that's right.
Come on, amen.
Amen.
And so we look to the Holy Spirit to work in our life. But here's what happened. Moses came down from the mountain, right, after being in the presence of God, speaking with God, getting the Ten Commandments. And the Bible says when he come down, the glory was upon him, but he would have to put a veil over his face, right? Because the people, when they were so afraid of God's likeness, God's presence, and you know, and the way Moses looked, it was frightening to them. So Moses would put a veil over his face, and then he would walk through the camp, and everyone would go, oh, he's been up there on that mountain. Look at him, you know, and he would take the veil off after, you know, he didn't really say hours or days, maybe, and because the glory would fade, because it was a temporary glory. Come on, amen.
Yeah. Amen.
And this is the issue that we face so greatly in the kingdom of God, is that we operate and we become so skilled in operating in a temporary glory. We go to a meeting, we know how to contact God, we know how to get His presence. Come on, amen.
Yeah.
We get a touch, which is wonderful. God deals with us in that moment. Maybe if you're ministering or you're praying or praying for people, I've been in meetings and the power of God falls on me and there's an anointing on my life. And my God, this is what I think. How come I can't feel like this all the time?
Right.
Come on, amen.
Yeah.
I mean, I can go bear hunting with a stick. Come on, amen. I mean, come on, look out, devil. Come on, amen.
Yeah,
I mean, when I've been anointed like this, you know, devils flee. Come on, amen.
Yeah.
And it's a glory of God that comes on us in those times of prayer. Some of you've been in prayer, and you get something's on you, and even maybe you can look back at a time in your life. And you say you've walked in more of that glory than you do right now. And you go, well, we got to get back to that place. We and again, what we're talking about getting back to is manifestations. But that is not the glory of God. The glory of God is the person of God.
Yes.
And I like this because Moses asked in Exodus 33, and he said, beseech thee, Lord. He said to God, show me your glory.
Yeah.
When he was on the mountain, he said to God, show me your glory. Now, he wasn't talking about the mist and wasn't talking about manifestation. He was saying, God, show me who you are.
Yeah.
Show me who you are. And the Lord said in Exodus 34:5, this is also one of my favorite Old Testament passages, because God just tells him, this is who I am. I thought, we're searching for him. We're trying to feel after him. We're trying to figure out, you know, what's God like. And literally in Exodus 34, verse 5 and 7, he says, this is who I am.
He says,
Lord descended in the cloud. He stood with him and proclaimed that I am the Lord God. And he says to him, I am merciful. I am gracious. I am long-suffering. Abundant in goodness. Abundant in truth. Keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity, transgressions, and sin. And what all means clear the guilty, that means he's not going to let people go. He's going to be justice. He's going to do justice. Visiting iniquity and father upon the generations. So that means if you don't deal with things, then he's going to let it keep going until you choose to deal with it. Amen.
Yeah.
But he says he's rich in mercy, full of kindness, full of goodness. I mean, every one of these traits Jesus manifested when he was on earth.
Yeah.
And so when we're trying to understand the glory of God, this is the glory of God. Mm-hmm. This is who God is. And if we're going to manifest him into the world, we're going to be able to manifest him through our goodness, our long-suffering.
Yeah.
Come on, amen?
Yeah. Yeah.
And I just want to get you to see here what's not missing. What's missing from these descriptions. It is not the power. Not one thing to say about the power of God.
Yeah.
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 Mm.
That's right.
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, come on now.
Yeah.
You're in.
Didn't say one thing about raising the dead.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't say one thing about healing the sick.
Yeah.
Now listen, those things are all part of why God does. You know, we're focused on those things instead of why God does them, because he's merciful. That's why he heals people.
That's right.
And I believe this with all my heart. The more we walk in his mercy and kindness and truth, the more those powerful manifestations will come to our life.
Mm-hmm.
But we've been trained for so long to seek those manifestations instead of seeking the character behind the manifestations.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Now listen, let me be clear, okay? I mean, I'm as guilty as this as anybody. Until God began to deal with my heart. Because we want to show, and we said, we want to show, come see the power of God. And no one stands there and like hugs people. Come on, amen.
Mm-hmm.
It's all about these manifestations that we love. And they're, and listen, I'm not here to demean them because they have meaning in the right context. But when we force ourselves into a space of judging our Christianity and the depth of it by how much we're moving in these things, manifestations, and not how much we're manifesting the glory of God in our life, then we've really misjudged what God is really trying to do in our life.
Yeah.
That's right.
And we forget that the goal of this is God is trying to make us into mature sons.
Yeah.
And those that are manifesting his glory into the earth, so that when we go to places, people see the glory.
Yeah.
And it's not the mist, come on. It's that when they met us, they really have encountered a true representation on the earth of God and his love. And his life is shown through us and who he is. And listen, as a body of Christ around the world, you know, I can say that we are not, and I say this with all humility because I'm part of it. Come on, amen. We are not doing this very well. And we're not doing this very well because we're much more focused on the status. So, you know, in the kingdom of God, this is what we value. We value the status as sons and daughters. So we're always talking to God about our sonship and the status of it, our rights, our privileges. Come on, amen?
Yeah.
So we focus on the status of sons, but we don't focus on the character of sons and daughters.
Yeah.
And in the kingdom of God, you either have a sonship paradigm or you have a church paradigm.
Yeah.
There's only two ways you approach the kingdom. You have a church paradigm. The church paradigm says this. I'm here because I'm at this church because I want to learn how to be blessed. And I want to learn how to move in my gifts and to discover my calling and discover the purpose for my life. And I'm here because I want to grow and become more powerful. And I want people to know that I'm saved because of the things that are flowing out from my life in the manifestations of the Spirit. And so we teach sermons. And I want you to also teach me how to be successful. Come on. In my relationships, come on.
Yeah.
In my life, that's a church paradigm. And so when that doesn't happen and things are not working, we immediately go, I'm not being fed here. And this church is not helping me. And I've still got issues in my life. And I wish Pastor would preach more on these types of things, because you're focused in on the church being the solution to your problems. Come on, amen.
Yeah.
But a sonship paradigm operates completely different. I'm not here for the church. I'm not here for the church to bless me. I'm here to build my Father's house.
Yes.
Come on,
amen.
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 And as I'm building my Father's house, I'm going to encounter conflict amongst myself with other people. Not because of any other reason, is that maybe we're passionate about different things and we're both being worked on by God at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
So if I have a sonship paradigm, the conflict I'm going to see as a positive thing because I have to work out the love that I have in my heart in a very practical way. I just can't say I love you. I have to actually demonstrate it by forgiving you.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Wow.
I've got to work with difficult people that I don't agree with everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Come on, amen.
Yeah. Amen.
Of different opinions. And,
yeah.
And it's hard for us when we have such strong ideas, and so many of us, that many are godly, they're just unrefined.
Yeah. Right.
They're not rooted in love. And,
yeah.
And what we have in the kingdom of God is we have love, but it's immature love.
That's
right. That says that I love you as long as you're acting right and you're looking right and everything's going well for you. It's easy to love you.
Right. Yeah.
But mature love is when people are not acting well and we still choose to walk in love with them. Now, we're not calling them anybody's doormat and take anybody's abuse, but what we are called to do is to be long-suffering with people.
Yeah.
And we're called to walk with people, gracious, journey with them, and have patience with them.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of people that I would love to write off, but they're part of God's family.
Yeah.
It's hard for me to write them off.
Yeah.
You know? And we have to understand that this is the true mark of sonship when we begin to manifest the glory.
Yeah.
Come on.
Amen. Yeah.
The long suffering, the mercifulness. Mm. Come on. That's not a temporary glory. That's the glory that you get to carry, that God reveals in you by going through things.
Yeah.
Now, I wish that I could get this glory in a prayer line or in a Bible study. Come on, amen.
Yeah.
Now I'm stirred up in those places because I see God, He's real, and I want to be like Him. That's how why the Holy Spirit's so gracious to give us those touches, those moments in our life. Come on, where we've seen that God is real. No one will be able to convince you because some of you have tasted too much of the Lord.
Yeah.
But that is only there to let you, you know, it's almost like a bait to come a little closer, you know, to dive in a little deeper. And so that you know, but what God is doing right now is He's trying to bring forth mature sons.
Yeah.
And the only way that you mature, and I wish it were different, is through suffering. Come on, amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Dealing with difficult things.
Yeah.
Now, this is why I believe that this is the greatest time in the kingdom of God. We're going through the greatest time we've ever had because God has given us so much opportunity in the confinement, in the turmoil and the unrest, and in our families, in our communities, and everywhere in our life, that God has given us this amazing opportunity to step above the fray of everything that's going on and manifest His glory in the world to our neighbors and the people around us. When they want to pull you into a political discussion about racism, and you say, you know what, we're all sinners, we all have fallen short of God's glory, and it's horrible what's gone on in America. But you know, I choose to understand that it starts with me. It starts in my heart. Yeah. It's not about who's in the White House. I mean, it's not about who's in charge, because all that could change, or it could stay the same. And here's what won't change: us.
Yeah.
That's right.
Come on, we'll still be full of bitterness and fighting and everything else. But we won. Come on, amen.
Yeah.
Mm.
And so, in the kingdom of God, you're seeing two types of solutions, two types of systems. And Chris brought this up to me one time, and it was something he read. It was really powerful. And we're looking at two different types of the way the kingdom works and the way that God works in the world.
Yeah.
And they're in collision. They're colliding right now.
Yeah.
In the church, they're colliding.
Yeah.
Because in the world system of resolving conflict, it's like this. There's winners and there's losers. Losers.
Yeah.
Come on, amen?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's all about justice.
Mm-hmm.
Come on. I want, someone has to pay.
Mm-hmm.
Come on.
Mm-hmm.
Something has to be done. I want someone punished.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we're hearing right now. That's the system of the world, how they revolve conflict. There's always a winner and a loser, and someone has to win and someone has to lose.
Wow.
And that's the way it works. But in the kingdom of God, that's not the way we resolve conflict. In the kingdom of God, it's not about justice. It's not about winning and losing. It's always about the relationship.
Right.
Mm. Yeah.
So this is why Matthew 18, God says, if you are offended, not that the other person offended you, but if you are offended, go as the offended person, and you ask them to help you, forgive you, and talk to them, and you engage that person. And this is why you do that, because the relationship is valuable.
Yeah.
They may be wrong, you may be right, but that's not what's at that point here. The point is, I don't want to lose the relationship with you. Because we're brothers and sisters, and we're all part of the family of God. And if we approach things from a kingdom point of view, we're not talking about justice. You know, social justice is one thing, but biblical justice is completely different.
Yeah.
Social justice is all about right and wrong. This is wrong, let's fix it. Biblical justice is about justice, right and wrong, but with mercy.
Amen.
And we're seeing no mercy right now in this conflict in America.
Right.
There's no mercy behind it.
Yeah.
It's not biblical justice. It's social justice.
Right.
And believers should never engage in social justice.
Yeah.
We should only engage in biblical justice. Biblical justice handles problems, but it does it in a merciful, kind way.
Mm.
It doesn't burn stuff down.
Yeah.
Doesn't oppose governments. Mm. Come on, try to destroy. It's evil, but that's not how we deal with evil. We deal with evil in the realm of the spirit.
Mm.
We deal with evil through prayer. Yeah. Come on, amen.
Yeah. Amen.
Right?
Yeah.
And if we confront it, we confront it with truth and with love.
Yeah.
And this is what a son, a mature son carrying the glory of God, will do in every conflict. There will never be trying to overpower the other person's opinion because I feel like they're wrong and I'm right. It's about the relationship. And even if I've just got to dismiss this and go, yeah, I guess we see this real. Hey, but let's stay connected, man. Come on, amen.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to, you know, when this came up, I was so appalled by some people, what they said, that I started unfriending people. I don't want to hear from that guy. I'm disappointed at the response, you know. And the Lord convicted me. And it's like, you're going to lose a relationship over one event that's orchestrated by somebody else to get votes and everything. You're going to get into this? And I thought, yeah, okay, you know. Maybe I shouldn't cut that 25-year-old friend off.
Yeah.
Over one Facebook post. Never want to talk to them again. But that's literally what we see going on.
Yeah.
And it's just not the glory of God that we're called to carry, guys.
Right.
And it's the deceptiveness of this is that we can walk as believers in a temporary glory and think that we've matured because we walk in a high level of our... We're skilled in our gifts. Come on. We know how to prophesy. We know how to pray. Come on. Someone that pulls us up to pray. We know how to pray. We know how to pray in tongues. We know how to pray in the spirit. And we're moving in this temporary glory. But that's not the glory that God says makes you mature. That's not the glory the world is waiting for. We thought when they saw our miracles, come on, amen. They come to our meetings and they feel the presence. Everything about them is going to change. I've brought friends to meetings and blow out meetings. Power of God falls and they walk out and go, But you know, those same friends turn to Christ when I manifest, when they're in trouble, and I'm the only one. They're like, you're my only friend.
Yeah.
Why is that? Because, you know, Jesus loves you, man, and that's why I love you. And they'll come quicker to that than they would about seeing people fall down and someone's arm grow out.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I wish it were that simple. Right. And we thought all they need to do is see the manifestation. No, what they need to see is the glory of God in our life.
That's good.
So here's the shift that should be happening. Now, if we get through this time, we will, and we will clear this soon. It will get to the other side, the COVID thing, racial unrest in America, all these things are, we're gonna get to the other side of this. But here's the problem, this will get better, things will get better, but will we?
Yeah.
And will we miss this opportunity as believers to come out of this COVID, racial injustice, all these things that are happening, will we come out the other side of this carrying more of the glory of God, or will we have less of God's glory because of the way we chose to handle it? Will we have more of a manifestation of God's heart and character, or will we still be clinging on to the law and the promises of God and saying, here's why I should be blessed, because I'm walking in the promises. We need to walk in the heart of God more than walk in the promises of God. And so we're not cleaving the promises right now. Promises are there, yes and amen. Come on, amen.
Yeah.
And they thank God for them. But we have an inheritance as sons.
Right.
It proceeds, it was given to us because of our birthright. Come on, amen.
Yeah.
We don't work for them and we don't need to leverage them. They're there. I'm more focused on my maturity as a believer because mature sons get more of the kingdom released to them.
That's right.
You know, I don't give my 13-year-old daughter the keys to the car yet. Come on, amen. She's not ready for it. Amen.
Yeah.
She will be one day, but right now she's not. So I don't give it to her. But we're asking God for more. More influence.
Mm-hmm.
Come on.
Yep.
More power. Increase our business, God. Give us more finances and just watch what we're going to do with them, you know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And we say all these things and we're focused on blessing instead of focused on maturity.
Yeah.
And when we come mature, God releases more influence to us, more of his power, more of his grace, come on, amen, into our life when we are mature. So the focus is always on maturity.
Mm-hmm.
It's never on blessing.
Yeah, that's right.
How do you know you're maturing? Because your revelations that you get from God will be less and less about you and more and more about the kingdom.
That's right.
I just saw in the Bible, God showed me this about myself, and that's wonderful, but that shows that you're still operating, you know, as a child of God, not a son of God. Come on, amen?
Yes.
Amen.
Okay.
It's okay that God's still showing you that, but when you start saying, like, God, you know, how can I build your kingdom?
Right.
Not my ministry or anything else. How can I build your kingdom? And we're not focused on getting our bills paid because we know we have a Father in heaven that's taking care of that.
That's right.
So we can focus on his kingdom. We're not, we're not, you know, paralyzed when something is going on in our economy and worried and fearful and doing things that, you know, believers shouldn't do. Come on.
Yeah.
Because we're not walking in fear because we know we have a Father who's taking care. And we know that we can seek first. Come on, Matthew 6:33, his kingdom.
Yeah.
And we seek first his kingdom, and everything else will be added unto us, right? So we're searching not for blessing. We're searching, and we're willing to suffer for maturity. So when trials come, conflict comes, we embrace that with joy. Come on, amen. When we're going through things, this is how we start moving up the road of maturity. We stop complaining. We stop grumbling and asking the wrong kind of questions, so we're getting the wrong kind of answers. Come on, amen. And so if we play stupid games, we get stupid prizes. Come on. And we had enough of those prizes. Come on, amen. So we want to understand that this is a pathway to increase in the kingdom of God. Is our personal maturity become more like God? And that's not impossible to do. He's doing it all the time. Every time we choose to not get upset with that guy, cut us off, and how when we have a conflict in our marriage, and we you know, take the high ground, and you know, we learn how to forgive, and the quicker we forgive is a sign of our maturity. You know, are we offended with someone? You know, has it been months, years? Come on, amen. Or has it been days and hours before we got over it? That's the sign. That's my sign. And my wife talks about this all the time. Like, when we're offended, how quickly can we move through offense as a sign of how mature, how well we're doing?
Yeah,
come on.
That's good.
If it's minutes, we're doing pretty good. Come on. Oh, that was horrible. Let's forgive them. Let's pray for them right now. And I'm still talking about it a year later, still mad. Come on, amen.
Yeah.
I got some work to do. God's got some more work to do in my heart. Come on. And so we're focused on manifesting, as believers, the glory of God, not the promises of God. We're focused on manifesting the glory of God. And we cannot settle or be deceived by a temporary glory on our life. We moved in this, and we prayed for this person, and we focus in on the manifestations of the Spirit, not the Spirit itself and its work in our life. I mean, there's nothing wrong with those. I want to go out here going, Pastor Troy, don't care about that. Don't be worried. Yeah, man, we need it. Come on, God gave it to us, the gifts of the Spirit, for a reason. Come on, amen, for the ministry. Come on, amen. So it's not that we discard those things. We just don't give them the highest priority anymore.
Yeah, that's good.
We give the priority to maturity, and those things will just flow out of our life like a river.
Yeah.
Once our motives, our heart for why we want them and why we want to move in them, you know, is clear, and we're manifesting God's glory, you know. You know, we talked about, my wife shared powerful offering a few weeks ago about the greatest sign of Christian maturity is that we can give without fear. That's how we know we're mature, is we can give without fear, because we understand that God is going to take care of us. And so, I don't know about you, but there's times when we can still give, and it's like, oh, God, you know the deals, Lord. Reminding him of everything he already knows, right? Anyway, I know you told me to do this, but there's still that fear. That's how we know that, you know, our heart is, and our love, and our contact with him has gotten to get a little deeper, you know, because that's one of the ways God locates us, you know, through our giving. Amen. And so let's pray together right now, because I believe that every person in this church, that this is the most powerful time and season that we've ever been through. And the worst thing that could happen is that we could come out the other end of this and not be changed. That we come out into this and we're worse than we are when we came into it. Our marriages are worse, our relationships are worse, and we're more isolated, we're more angry than we've ever been. We're more upset. You know, my inbox is full of conspiracies, you know. I mean, every day I get four or five people email, Pastor, what do you think about this? You know, is this the sign of the end times? And I'm thinking, wow, we're focused on the wrong thing right
yeah.
now.
Yeah.
We're focused on governmental conspiracies mm. right now. We're missing what God is trying to do in our own lives.
Yeah.
It's a convenient way for us not to deal with ourselves by
that's
thinking
right.
all the problems are out there, not
mm.
in here.
Mm-hmm.
yeah.
It's the deep state
yeah.
that's keeping me up at night.
Yes.
Not my own heart. right?
Right, yeah.
It's all these conspiracies that mm-hmm. is something going on. We don't know what it is. And it keeps all of our focus on mm. other things instead of letting the Holy Spirit focus on us and deal with our hearts right now. That's a mm. dead giveaway. We're missing it right
mm.
now. I'm sure that it's all interesting and intriguing, but it ain't gonna help me, you know, love my wife more and be a better father.
Right.
Come on, amen.
Amen.
And win any more souls. The deep state has nothing to do with that. Amen.
That's right.
And so we want to focus right now on the right things in our life, and we want to focus on increasing our love, being having mature love, and manifesting the glory of God. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Okay, let's pray together.
Yes.
Father, I thank you for this great church.
Mm.
Lord, Pastor Rena, Pastor Rory are two of the finest people I know, God. And Lord, I thank you for what they're building here,
mm-hmm.
that this is not mm-hmm. just another church, but they're building the kingdom in this place.
Yeah.
And you can see by the way they prayed over their worship leader, God, that everyone
mm-hmm.
stood
mm-hmm.
up and walked in a great level of love. You can feel the love in this
mm-hmm.
house. It's a great testimony to what you're doing. So Lord, we're praying that you would take us deeper
mm-hmm.
as a church.
Yeah.
Deeper into your heart, deeper into your character. Lord, we don't just focus on our status as sons, and we're not just
mm.
focused on our blessing or our own success. Lord, we're focused on maturity and character right now.
Yeah.
Lord, we thank you that you're working in our life. It's difficult.
Mm.
When we face difficulties, Lord, help us to embrace them, because you know that the present sufferings are nothing compared to the glory that is going to be revealed in us
mm.
as we let God work in us, Lord.
Mm.
So, Lord, where we haven't forgiven people, help us.
Mm.
Where people have, where we've allowed conflict to turn into a worldly conflict and we've not handled it in a godly kingdom way, Lord, help us go back and correct that even today with
mm.
a phone call or a note
mm.
or an email saying, Lord, I'm sorry, I cut you off, but I want to restore our relationship.
Mm.
It's difficult to
mm.
do that because it takes a lot of humility. Lord, we thank you for helping us, Lord, to walk in a greater level of
mm.
mercy for what's going on. It's so easy to judge these young African-American men, so angry, God, but they have no fathers.
Mm.
They have no natural
mm.
fathers.
Mm.
They have no spiritual fathers.
Mm.
So, Lord, help us, Lord, to pray for fathers to rise and for us to be fathers to the fatherless, God.
Mm.
Lord, we thank you that you give us grace, Lord, like never before, God, because it's your grace, God, that allows us to become more like you. It's your grace that helps us walk in a greater level and manifestation of your blessing. Lord, it's grace for grace. You want us to give grace. You give us grace so that we can extend grace to other people, God.
Mm.
And so we thank you for increasing the grace of God over our life through every trial. Lord,
yes.
that we'll have to reach out for you and ask you for your help, and we will have to humble ourselves under the grace of God.
Mm-hmm.
You resist the proud, but you give grace to the humble.
Yes.
And so, Lord, if we're being resisted by you, there's no hope for us.
Mm-hmm.
But, Lord, as we humble ourselves, grace will enter our life in a powerful mm-hmm. way
yeah.
and change everything very quickly.
Yes.
And, Lord, we just thank you for this, that you're working in our life and our heart, making
mm-hmm.
us into the image and the likeness
mm-hmm.
of Christ. Christ came not just to save us, not just to point us to the Holy Spirit, but Christ came to show us the way to the Father.
Mm-hmm.
So, Father, we thank you for what you're doing in our life and for helping us and for blessing us
yes.
in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.